Good morning, everyone. We are in the second week of our evangelism series called High Stakes of Faith. The focus of the series is evangelism, which is sharing the good news of Jesus with others who don't know him. And one of the main goals of this series is basically to light an evangelistic fire under ourselves, to give us that sense of urgency that there are people who need to know about Jesus. Some of us have been Christians for a long time, and it's very tempting to just be comfortable and satisfied having God's love all to ourselves. But you know, Jesus commands us to go out and tell people about him. Evangelism isn't just something that is suggested to us or something that God, you know, hopes we will do. In fact, sharing Christ with others is an integral and vital part of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And there are people living and dying without knowing who Jesus is. And that is why we are calling this High Stakes Faith, because there's a lot at stake. Our faith matters. What we believe matters, and what we believe will have an eternal impact in our lives and will influence the kind of impact we have on the people around us. My husband and I, our daughter plays softball, and for the past few years, we've helped coach her team, which is why I have a nice sunburn from yesterday's day at the softball field. But the first year she played, when she was 8, that was a rough year because all the girls on the team had never even set foot on a softball field before. So it was like teaching the basics. We're talking every inning, walking the girls out to their positions because they forgot which base was which. You know, every inning reminding the infielders, no, you can't draw pictures in the dirt, you know, while somebody's up to bat. And you can't wear your glove like a hat in the outfield. But there was this adorable girl. Her name was Chandler. And one of the innings, she was out for first base. And so I told her, I said, okay, Chandler, when the ball gets hit, you need to come over to first base, put your foot on the base, and hold your glove like this, because they're going to throw it to you. She's like, okay. So the ball gets hit, and she runs over to the first base, and she's got it. She's in perfect position. The ball goes right by her. She makes no effort to catch it. So I'm like, oh, that was odd. So this happens a couple of times, and I'm like, Chandler, you have to catch the ball when they throw it to you. Oh, really? I had wrongly assumed that, you know, she understood that whenever somebody throws a ball to you, you know, you have to catch it. That's the danger of assuming anything. We cannot assume that people have heard about Jesus. We can't assume that somebody else is going to share that good news with them. I grew up in a small farm town in the Central Valley, and I can say that every single one of my friends went to church. They just did. So, you know, in small town Shafter in the 70s, 80s, I could safely assume that most people had heard about Jesus. We don't live in that kind of world here in the Bay Area in the year 2013. The kids over in Kids Worship, they're also doing an evangelism series. Theirs is called Special Delivery, that they're following along with you all, learning about evangelism. And last week, their lesson theme was very simple, but it was, people need to hear about Jesus to know about Jesus. Just very simple. How else are people going to know about him if nobody tells them? And God has called us to be that voice. We can't assume anything. The stakes are too high for us to assume that people already know about Christ or that somebody else is going to come along and take care of it. And so this series on evangelism is all about breaking our hearts for the people that don't know Jesus and for creating that sense of urgency and lighting an evangelistic fire under ourselves as individuals and as a church. So like last week, Pastor Rich started off the series, and he got the fun job of starting off the series by talking about hell. you know, we really don't like to talk about hell. My daughter, in fact, is certain that hell is a bad word, right up there with all the four-letter words. And one time we were reading the Bible, and it had the word hell, and she's like, oh, Mommy, there's a bad word in the Bible. So, you know, hell is an uncomfortable topic. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, hell exists. And because of our sin, we deserve to go there. But thankfully, that's not where the story ends. And when Pastor Rich asked me which week of this series I wanted to preach, I took a look at the topics and I said, you can start by talking about hell and I'll come in and talk about heaven. That sounds like a great deal. You know, I get the better end of this one. So today we're going to talk about salvation. We're going to talk about heaven. And our lesson theme is the one way to heaven is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? So while the reality of hell is frightening and uncomfortable, it's something we need to understand to really fully grasp the gift of salvation. Now, salvation basically means getting rescued or protected from death and destruction. So in a spiritual sense, then, salvation means that we are rescued from our sins. We're protected from the consequences of our sins. So then a savior is the person who does that rescuing. My uncle and cousin have been firefighters for decades. They've saved countless lives. You know, if your house is on fire, your savior is probably going to be a fireman. I worked for 3 summers as a lifeguard at the Boy Scout camp, and I pulled, I don't know how many Boy Scouts, you know, out of the pool when they were struggling. If you're struggling in water, you know, your savior is probably going to be a lifeguard. And even animals need saviors. How many of you have adopted a stray or a shelter pet? Yeah, a lot of them. I know, you're looking at that going, oh, isn't he cute? He wants a home. He's calling to you. We have 2 dogs and a cat right now, all strays that we've rescued. We got to be their savior, and now they run the house. So, you know, it's just the way it goes. But when it comes to spiritual salvation and being rescued from the consequences of our sin, there is only one savior. Our Lord Jesus. The one way to heaven is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, some of you may be going like, duh, right? It's kind of like a duh statement. But the truth of this statement, our firm belief in this statement, is the key to our urgency when it comes to evangelism and sharing Christ with others. I mean, if we believe without a doubt that Jesus is the one and only way to heaven and to salvation, then how are we not going to tell other people? On the other hand, if we're thinking that maybe there are multiple paths to heaven, and Jesus is just one of many options, then that urgency is gone. Because what's the point of urgency if any one of several paths will do? My mom and dad like to travel, especially now that they're both retired, especially road trips. And one of my dad's favorite things in life is to find shortcuts. Now, to be fair, most of them work, but the best family stories are the ones that don't. So I'm going to share with you one of my favorite dad shortcut stories. It was my sophomore year in college, and we were all driving down because it was the beginning of the school year, and they were helping me move in. My dad said, I've got a new shortcut. It's going to save us time. There's not going to be as much traffic. I'm like, all right, whatever. So I'm following them, and the shortcut had us driving on basically 2-lane roads, middle of nowhere, which is fine. But after a while, that 2-lane road turned into a dirt path. Okay. And then eventually the dirt path disappeared, and we were just driving in a field. Just, you know, tumbleweeds, cows, you know. We were driving in the middle of somebody's dirt field. My mom and dad are in front of me. And my dad turns around to look at me, and I give him the what in the world, you know, motion. And he looks and he smiles and just gives me the thumbs up. It's all good. So we just kept going. And eventually we came to a road, you know, and made it all the way to school. He swears to this day that that road was on the map. So whatever. As he likes to tell me, we got there. Finding alternate paths on a road trip is one thing. But what we're seeing more and more is people trying to find alternate paths to God. And there's a theory going around that all paths lead to God. Have you heard this? All religions are the same. All paths lead to heaven. And Jesus is just one of any of those options. Halle Berry, actress, was quoted as saying, I believe in God. I just don't know if that God is Jehovah, Buddha, or Allah. And Madonna was quoted as saying, I go to synagogue. I study Hinduism. All paths lead to God. And George Lucas says, I remember when I was 10 years old, I asked my mother, if there's only one God, why are there so many religions? I've been pondering that question ever since, and the conclusion I've come to is that all religions are true. It's easy to put these viewpoints aside because, you know, they're celebrities and they're already kind of crazy and maybe they're not Christians, but I'm hearing this viewpoint from Christians. More and more, I'm hearing Christians say that all paths lead to God. And I don't think it's that people are trying to undermine the death of Christ or the importance of Jesus. From what I gather, it's being uncomfortable with the reality of hell and the reality that Jesus is the only way. When we say Jesus is the only way to heaven, very often we're termed as being arrogant, elitist, and close-minded. A lot of people don't want to be seen that way. Or, you know, when it comes to hell, you know, in the cases of people that we think are really evil, we're okay with that, but otherwise we don't want to see people go to hell. And so what happens is, because we're uncomfortable with that, we end up taking kind of a buffet approach to faith. You know, you take the things and you keep the things you like. You know, we want to keep grace. We want to keep eternal life. We want to keep, you know, God's love, and set aside the things that we're not comfortable with, things like hell and judgment. So for right now, we're going to set our viewpoints, our feelings about this aside. We're going to look at what the Bible says. And I'm going to read a few verses about what the Bible says about how to get to heaven. So I'm going to be going through several verses. So if you want to flip along in your Bibles, great. But just so you know, we're going to be moving around. So we're going to start with John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then on to 1 Thessalonians 5:9-10. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. And then over to Acts 4:12. This is one of my favorites. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And then one that almost every child knows by heart, John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And finally, Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So the world may claim that there are multiple paths to God, that there are lots of options on how to get to heaven. But according to the Bible, how many ways are there to get to heaven? One. And that way is who? Jesus. One way. The one way to heaven is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. And I read several of these passages because I think it's important that we understand that this truth of Jesus being the only way, it's not just in one obscure verse hidden in like Leviticus. Okay, you find this several, not to diss on Leviticus, but you know what I mean. You find this several places in Scripture. In fact, I only gave you a sampling of those. I could have kept going with many more scriptures. And when you see something in, you know, an idea, a truth in the Bible over and over again, then you know it's vital, it's important, it's integral to what it means to being a follower of Christ. You know, when you go into a child's room and you look around, you get a pretty good idea of what's important to them. We have a 13-year-old son. You go into his room, you're going to see video game systems, video game controllers, video game magazines, and comic books about video game characters. He likes video games, right? You go into our daughter's room, and it's kind of like a stuffed animal tornado made its way through and dropped its load right there, and there are stuffed animals everywhere. And I can't sneak any of them out because she knows where every single one of them is. I don't know how they do that, but you go in, you see what's important to them. When you see something over and over in Scripture, that is vital to God. And we see this in Scripture. It's clear. There is one way to heaven, and that is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. So we've covered, Scripture is clear that Jesus is the only way to heaven. So now we're going to talk about why. Why is Jesus the only way to heaven? You know, and some of you might be like, I've been in church, you know, forever. I know this. Well, if this is repeat for you, I want you to listen, because our prayer is that you're going to get the opportunity to share this with somebody. God is perfect. God's throne is in heaven, which means heaven is perfect, which means nothing imperfect can be allowed into heaven. And that is where the problem is for us, because we're not perfect. We sin. We do things that we know are not God's will for our lives. We act in ways that we know are not right. We do things that God doesn't want for us. And that sin separates us from God. And because of our sin, instead of deserving to go to heaven, we deserve to be separated from the Lord. And that's why we need a Savior. We need someone who can rescue us from our sin, save us from the consequences of that sin, make us perfect and holy so that we can spend eternity with God. And maybe one of the things that doesn't make a lot of sense is that even though we sin, God doesn't want to be separated from us. Okay? God wants to spend eternity with us. There's not one of us in this whole world that God wants to be separated from. And so that is why God sent Jesus. Jesus is God's son, God in human form. And when Jesus lived a human life here on earth, he was perfect. He never sinned. And even though we're the ones who sin, we're the ones who go against God, and Jesus is perfect, he took our place on the cross and took the punishment for our sin on himself. He died on the cross and was buried. 3 days later, he rose again, and God showed that he has power over sin and death. And now when you ask Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your Savior, your sins are forgiven. You're holy. You're clean. You're perfect. And you have that place in heaven sealed. Doesn't mean we won't mess up. We're not perfect in that way, but we are perfectly forgiven. And we have eternity waiting for us in heaven. The one way to heaven is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, you know, on the theory that there are multiple paths to heaven, we've covered what the Bible says, and we've talked about the gospel, but the reason why I chose this week was not just because, you know, it's easier to talk about heaven than hell, but this is actually a very personal thing for me because of some Christians I know that I've heard say that there are, you know, all paths lead to God. And there are some things that really struck me about why that is unacceptable. The first one is that Jesus himself says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means then that if we concede that there are other paths to God, Jesus is a liar. There's no gray area there. It's black and white. Jesus says he is the only way. If we believe that the Bible is God's word, if we believe in the words of Jesus, then he is the only way. To say that there are other ways means that Jesus is a liar. But the one that really gets me going is that if there are multiple paths to heaven, then the death of Christ means nothing. It means nothing. He didn't have to die on the cross. If any of the past will get you to heaven, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. And that means God is cruel and evil for making that happen when it wasn't necessary. But I believe that Jesus died on the cross because that is the one way for us to be forgiven for our sins. The one way to heaven is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is where our urgency is. This is where the urgency is, because everyone needs salvation from sin. Everyone needs to be forgiven, and there is one way for that to happen. People have to hear about Jesus to know about Jesus, and you and I, we've been called to be that voice. Like I said before, this series, even though we're going over some of the basics of the faith, it's all about evangelism, sharing Christ with others. And so through this series, we all have a very specific assignment, and we're going to keep reminding you of it and encouraging you about it, because we've been called to share Christ with others, and mainly through relationships. You know, not just hanging out with Christians and church people, but getting out into the world and creating relationships with people who don't know Christ, caring for them, getting to know them and their lives and their needs, caring for them, talking with them, earning the right to share Christ, and helping them come to know the one way to salvation. So, you have a very specific assignment. First of all, we're all going to be making a list. Pastor Rich probably told you this last week, but we're going to keep reminding you. We want you all to make a list of the people in your sphere of influence, your families, your friends, your coworkers, the cashier at Safeway, the people that you have constant contact with who don't know Christ. Just list them out. And then you pray. Pray over that list. Who is it on that list that God is calling you to invest yourself in? Who is it that God is already working on? There's a family, one of Jason's friends, his family. We've been praying for them. And we can already see God opening their hearts to, you know, receiving invitations, accepting invitations to come to, you know, youth events or, you know, the spaghetti dinner. And we can see God is working there. So where do you already see God at work? Who are those 3 to 4 people that God is calling you specifically to invest in? So you're going to discern those 3 to 4 names. And then at the end of this series, we're going to give you all a card, and you're going to write those names down, and you're going to turn that card in. And that card is a commitment. And you're going to be committing to 3 things. Number one, you're going to be committing to pray for those people every day. And it's been suggested to us that you have a trigger for your prayer time. So something you already do. So it's already in your day. Like if you always have your cup of coffee at a certain time, that's your trigger to pray for the people, you know, on your list. So you pray for them. Second, you invest yourself in them. You prioritize time to build those relationships, because that's where the trust is. That's where you care for them and know them and earn the right to talk about spiritual things. And finally, 3, you look for opportunities to share Christ so that you can become that bridge over which those people will walk to faith in Jesus. Now, when you turn the card in, the staff are going to put it in a database and then give it back to you, kind of as your reminder. But our commitment to you is that the staff and the deacons will be praying regularly for you and for the people that you're investing in. And we'll be sending you messages saying, hey, I prayed for you. And we'll name the people that we also prayed for. So this is something we're all going to be doing together. But right now, if you haven't already started to make your list and begin to pray, I really encourage you to do that now. A few weeks ago, I chaperoned a field trip for Josie's class. I got to say, fourth grade field trips, a lot easier to chaperone than when they were in kindergarten. And so the trip was led by the Audubon Society. It was over at the Baylands. And it was a very cool trip. All the kids got binoculars. And they had this list of like 100 species of birds. And so our job was to mark off the different species that we saw. Although the big highlight for a lot of the kids was the giant bullfrog, you know, we found down in this little drainage ditch. I had to stop my daughter as she was trying to climb down to pet it. but it was just amazing because at the end of the day, we had seen almost 50 species of birds just in that little section. In this one pond alone, the guide told us that there were 24 species of birds just in that one pond. And when you see something like that, you can't help but be in awe of God's creativity. And we see God's creativity not just in animals, but in the way he created us. I mean, we are all wonderfully unique. Size, shape, personality, talents, likes, dislikes, experiences. And God is going to use that uniqueness to help bring others to Christ. Because of who you are, because of the way God created you, because of the experiences you have been through, you are perfect to bring certain people to Jesus. You're going to be able to reach people that nobody else can. And so I want you to keep that in mind as you're praying over the people that you're going to be investing yourself in. The way that God has created you, who are you best suited and created to reach? I'm going to end with one last thought. Today we talked a lot about one way to heaven is through our one Savior, Jesus Christ. And that means that when we die, we're going to be going in one direction. Depending on whether or not we accept Christ, we're going to be going to heaven, or we're going to be separated from God in hell. And the choice is ours. The offer is there and paid for with the blood of Jesus. The choice is ours to decide which direction we're going to go in. And so my question for you all, have you chosen your direction? Have you made that choice? Have you decided which direction you're going to go when you die? It's paid for. That direction to heaven is there and it's paid for. And if you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the time is now. None of us is guaranteed tomorrow. And it's been long enough living without him. So if you have not yet accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and sealed your direction when you die, and if God is knocking on your heart, I invite you to accept him now. And we're going to say the prayer right now. And I just really pray that you'll listen to the Spirit's guidance and make this choice. So let's all join in prayer. If you'd like to accept Christ, you just follow along with me. Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came and died for my sins. I admit, Lord, that I've tried living for myself, doing things my own way. I admit I've sinned and that I need you as my Savior and that you alone are the Savior. I need forgiveness, Lord. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I want to live my life with you now and forever. Lord God, I just pray that you would be with those who have just made a decision, that you would encourage their hearts and just celebrate and guide them in their new life with you. And God, for those who don't yet know you as Lord, pray that you would open their hearts to receive your truth and that you would just light a fire under us to see those opportunities and open our eyes to where those opportunities are to share your love and your grace and just your plan for salvation. Lord Jesus, we believe in you. We believe that you alone are Savior, that you alone died for our sins, that you alone are the one way to eternal life in the presence of our Lord. Amen.